You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Our scripture reading is in Luke chapter 24. We'll be reading the first 8 verses. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of Jesus, of Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your Holy Word Scripture, because we ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Let's join our hearts and our minds in prayer. Father God, we do thank you for this glorious day. It's so beautiful outside. We just marvel at it, but we marvel all the time, Father, at your creation. How amazing it is, how it speaks of you, how it declares who you are, how it declares your glory in every way, in every facet. Father, we thank you for this day of celebration of the resurrection of your Son and our Savior. We pray, Father, that that glorious truth ring home in the heart of everyone that's here today. If there be one that does not know you, we pray, Father, that their heart might be touched and reach out for him who lives and can give them life. Now pray your ask for your blessing on this message, and that each heart need might be met, for we pray this in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, Satan's victory and his celebration was short-lived. The disciples' fear was unfounded, and the faith of a dedicated few was rewarded, all because of one event, which is the turning point of human history. It is the turning point of human history, although mankind does not recognize it. It is the turning point. The resurrection of Christ, to us who know him, is the capstone of our faith. It is the bedrock upon which we stand. If Jesus is still in that grave, when they brought him down off that cross, if he is still in that grave, then really nothing matters. You can eat, you can drink, you can be merry, because tomorrow you die and it's all over. So have a good time right now. But if he did come out of that grave, if it is an empty tomb, then nothing but that really matters. What keeps Christianity from being a warm-hearted fairy tale is the resurrection of Jesus. But let me tell you something. Satan is trying everything he can. He is pulling out all the stops to divert our attention from the resurrection. And his attack is so subtle. It is so subtle. Look at the holiday we are celebrating. Easter. Easter. Do you know what Easter means? It comes from that Anglo-Saxon word Astor, which is the goddess of spring. And look around about you. Notice the number of bunnies. The number of bunnies and eggs we utilize to commemorate this holiday. That is nothing but a Greek fertility springtime celebration. Oh, how subtle he is, because he could not keep Jesus in the grave. So he's doing the next best thing. He's trying to keep people from seeing and believing the truth. And he's doing a pretty good job. Right here in America, in the land of the free, the most Christian nation in the whole world, Satan is doing a good job. Let's set the record straight about the resurrection. After Jesus paid our sin debt on that cross, they buried him in the grave. And on the third day, he arose. And as the song said, with a mighty triumph over his foes. And because he lives, we live. Look in your book, the Bible. Look in the only book that there is that tells us about God and his love and his son. Look in there at verse 1 through 3 with me. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, there came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Now listen with me. I want to talk to two different groups of people this morning. And I'm going to start with the ain'ts. I'm going to talk to the saints, and I'm going to talk to the ain'ts. There's no middle ground. You're either a member of one group or you're a member of the other. There's no in between. There is no in between. Now, I'm going to talk to the ain'ts first. You saints, just sit tight. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand to ask what group you belong to. I might embarrass some of the saints who might be ain'ts. There's a lot here for you saints, but I want to talk to the ain'ts first. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for your sins. He just didn't die for the saints. He died for the ain'ts too. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And you are here today, whether you're a saint or an ain't, you're here today by God's appointment. Do you know that everything in your life moves and has its being in Him? This book tells us that. This book tells us that God doesn't miss a thing. And you are where you are today. You're where you are today because you're still in your sins and your trespasses. You're where you are today because you're still walking according to the course of this world. Yeah, this world interests you. This world captivates you. The sparkle of this world catches your eye. The glitter of this world fascinates you. The heroes of this world are your heroes, and they're nothing but celluloid images of make-believe. But you don't know that. You don't know that, nor do you care. Because you still follow the prince of the power of this air. This week I was talking to a good Christian brother of mine, and what did he say when I said, do you know who the prince of the power of this air is? And he said, yeah. I went, whoa. It's the devil. He rules here. Christ doesn't rule here. Not yet. But you don't care if you're an ain't. You are where you are today with broken promises, broken dreams, a broken life, because you still walk in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You are a child of wrath, and some of you don't even know that. There's something else you don't know, and that is God loves you. Now, I don't just say that without any meaning to it. He really, really loves you. And that's why you're here today. You know, in the old days when a man would find something really valuable, you know, like a gold mine or a piece of land that he really wanted, he'd stake a claim to it. Boy, he'd put those stakes right out there. But you know, it didn't matter to a lot of people. What did it matter was when he would take his claim and he'd go down to the assessor's office and he would file it. He would put it on record. He would make a claim for all to know. And God has made some claims. And I am here today to lay on your heart the claims of Christ that come out of this book. Claim number one. Where do we begin? Where is claim number one? Do you know where it is? Let me tell you where it is. It's where you come to the point in life where you realize there is a God. Hebrews chapter 11, he says, without faith it's impossible to please God. But he who comes to him must first believe that he is. There is a God, and this is claim number one. Now I'm speaking to your heart today. If you're an ain't, your heart will respond to this. You will understand it. You may not accept it. I'm speaking to the heart because out of the heart come forth the issues of life, the things that really matter. It's with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. God's record says. And with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's with the heart that God begins. Why? Because that's where He begins to do His work. There must be the work of the Holy Spirit. The sinner must first be awakened before he can be enlightened. And then he must be enlightened before he can be convinced or convicted of sin. And he must be convinced of sin before he can be wounded. Wounded by the sword of the Spirit. Look at this passage. It comes from Hebrews that we have on our wall over here. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And it is a discerner. What? The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. For that unrepentant sinner, that's where it has to begin. That's where it begins with all of us. The saints began there just as well as the ain'ts. The whole heart of man must turn to Christ and seek Him. It won't happen, though, until after that heart is wounded. And then when that heart begins to seek Him, that soul begins to run after Him. It runs after Him as if He was the only one that he must have, or else he perish. That is claim number one that comes out of the record of God. And here's claim number two. This book, the Bible, is the Word of God. It is the sharp two-edged sword that will wound you. It is the Word that contains the claims of God, the claims of Christ. It is the Word that holds life, life eternal, the life of God. This Bible, believe it and be saved, or disbelieve it and go on to hell. The Bible, and only the Bible, has the words of life, but only for those who believe it. You've heard the story of the wise man who built his house upon a rock. It's a man who had ears, but there's another man who had ears in the same story. He was a man who built his house on sand. He had ears to hear, but he didn't do. And when the rains came down and the floods came up and the winds blew, the man who built his house on sand, his house was destroyed. Who is the man who hears and builds his house on the rock? Is the man who hears and does what God has told him to do. He is a man who has not only heard the Word, but has kept the Word. Look at verse 4 in your passage. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Claim number one is that there is a God. You have got to realize that. And when you do, you realize that there is a day of judgment. He's not playing a game. You may be playing a game, but He's not playing a game. There is nothing but righteousness in Him. Nobody who is not righteous will survive when that day of judgment comes. Claim number two, we learn about Him in this book. This book contains the words of life and gives us life. Claim number three is that many today live a religious life, but they really live a life in unbelief, thinking that their God wouldn't be so mean and so cruel as to condemn people to hell forever. They say in their heart, why, my God is a loving God. And they don't have the first understanding of what love is all about. The Word says, all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you and I, all of us are sinners. All of us. And we're sinners, why? Now don't go blaming Adam and Eve. You're a sinner because you sin. You sin. And God says in another place, the wages of sin is death. But we say, Lord, we don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to die and go to hell. And He says, well, there are many that say, Lord, Lord. But you know what? He doesn't even know them because they're workers of iniquity. Another place He says in this book, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I've asked you to do? I can tell you why. But before I do, let me tell you, He says in another place, the Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Let me tell you why they don't do the things he's asked. I can tell you with all the conviction that a person can have about why, because I once stood there and did the same thing. They were an unrepented sinner. That's why they don't do the things he's asked them to do. They have never, and I say it again, they have never been changed in their heart. They are not born again. They are people who love their own lifestyle. They love their own lifestyle, which is full of rebellion. They don't love God. They don't worship God. They don't live for God. Their lives are full of rebellion. Their lives are full of sex and drugs. You say, oh, well, that's not me. I don't do that. Yeah, but do you love your life of self-centeredness? You don't read your Bible. You don't go to church. You don't share the good news with anybody. If that's what you do, you're just a pretender. You're just a pretender. You're playing a game. Are you one of these that doesn't want anyone telling you how to live? These are wise in their own eyes. They deny the wisdom of God. Why do they seek the living from among the dead? They deny the power of God. He can't save me. I'm here to say He can. Because He says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I'm here today to lay the claims of Christ on your heart. Claim number one, there is a God. Claim number two, He has staked out these claims in His book. And claim number three, many there are who pretend to be religious and are not. Claim number four, Christ died for you and for me. Yes, I said He died for me because it's personal. He died for you. That should make it personal. There will be a time when He will hold you accountable for a decision that you have made. You might think, I'll make that decision. My brother did. I'll wait. I'll make that decision at another time when I have an opportunity. Maybe just right before anything strange might happen. God will hold you accountable for that decision. That decision will be, have you followed Him, which is your reasonable service? Or have you followed yourself, which is just giving it lip service? There'll be a time when He'll hold you accountable to have followed Him or not followed Him. There's no middle ground here. Do you know that? There is none. God won't allow there to be any middle ground. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Don't be fooled by thinking, oh, my God wouldn't send me to hell. That's the lie of the devil. Is the devil your God? Let me tell you, the devil wouldn't give a plug nickel for your life. No, he wouldn't. He certainly wouldn't give his life for your life, but God did. God gave His own Son. God gave His Son that whosoever should believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Claim number four, Christ died for you. Claim number five, the righteous one died for you, the unrighteous. See, that word convinces and convicts us of sin. Good for the saints as well as the ain'ts. The just one died for the unjust. The Son of God. The incarnate God. Born of a virgin. God in the flesh died for you. He was arrested. He was tried. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was spat upon. And a crown of thorns was shoved onto His head. And then they took Him off. And they laid Him on a cross, and they pounded nails into His flesh and he was crucified for you and for me. He was crucified for our sins. If you walk in the flesh, God promises you will die. But to those that are in the Spirit, who walk in the Spirit, to them there is therefore now no condemnation. But to those who play the game, who walk in the flesh, there is condemnation. Are you playing the game? Are you thinking you are religious but lost? I am here today to lay the claims of Christ on your heart. And claim number 6, my last claim. Claim number 6, have you made a decision? There is a decision that must be made. Back up in chapter 23, if you still have your Bible open, back up to chapter 23 and verse 39. One of the malefactors who was hanged railed at him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" There is a decision that has to be made, claim number 6. You have to make this decision. Are you a child of God? You may say, "Yes, I walked down the aisle one time. Yes, I was baptized in church. Yes, I cried tears. Oh, yes, I prayed a prayer. Oh, does that mean that Jesus died for your sins?" Yes, Jesus died for my sins, you may say. I'm here to tell you, Jesus didn't die for my sins. The Lord Jesus died for my sins. The Bible says if you confess Jesus is Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Have you ever confessed Jesus as Lord? Or did He die in vain on your behalf? It's an old saying. Don't listen to what a person says. Watch what they do. I hope that hasn't been hard. I don't mean it to be hard. I mean it to be enlightening. You have to be awakened before you can be enlightened. Now I want to talk to the saints. Look at verse, come back to chapter 24 and look at verse 6 and 7 and 8. See, the ants look for the living among the dead. That's what they celebrate today. That's why they have to bring in the eggs and the bunnies and all the stuff that has to do with spring. You know, they're trying to find the living among the dead. It has nothing to do with that at all. He is risen. Remember how He spoke unto you, verse 6, when He was yet in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered His words. Remembered His words. Saints, you've got to remember His words. You've got to keep them in your heart. Christ is risen. The resurrection is absolutely the most marvelous event in human history. Let me say it again. The greatest thing that has ever happened on this earth is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. No one else has ever done it. He did it. He did it of His own power, and He said He was going to do it, and He did it on the third day. Everything that He said in this book, everything that He did when He was in the flesh on this earth is confirmed by the fact that He came out of that tomb on that glorious resurrection day. You, saints, who have placed your hope and your trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, have not lived your life in vain. Your faith is not in vain. Your hope is not in vain. You are not false witnesses. You are no longer in your sins. For in Christ you have been made alive, and your sins have been forgiven. If you are a saint, you are truly the child of the most wonderful Father that there has ever been. God has called you now. He has called you to a work. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't be a man pleaser. Don't savor the things of man. He said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter savored the things of men. God doesn't deal lightly with that. He chastens those whom He loves. So don't be a man pleaser, but be a faithful child of the living God. He has delivered you from the power of darkness. Do you know on that day when they crucified Him at midday at 12 o'clock? Do you know they say in the Middle East that it is the brightest time of the day? It is so bright they have to get into the shade. It is so bright. It is at that time that darkness came upon the earth when He died. And for 3 hours darkness was upon the face of the earth until He said, it is finished. For you who are the child of God, it is finished. He has delivered you from the power of darkness, and He has translated you not into the kingdom on this earth, but into the kingdom of His dear Son in the heavenlies far above. He has asked you now to walk worthy of this calling. He has asked you to be fruitful in every work, and He has asked you to increase in your knowledge of Him. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the hope that the resurrection gives us, not just in this life, but in the life to come. We thank You for the power that has been endued upon us, the power to be victorious in every aspect of this life, against every onslaught that the devil might bring against us. To remain steadfast, Father, You have asked us. To remain unmovable, Father, You have asked us. To always abound in the work You have asked us. May we be found faithful. Faithful because, Father, You loved us so much. You gave Your Son. But He lives. And so He lives, we live. We praise You for that in His precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.